Y'all, it's Jey Uso from WWE.
And I'm Jimmy Uso.
Chumba Casino and WWE are hyped for the biggest event of the summer, SummerSlam.
I know, I can't wait.
There's nothing better to do while we're waiting
than playing Chumba Casino.
Sign up today and you could win a VIP experience
with Chumba Casino and WWE for SummerSlam.
So what are you waiting for?
Play Chumba Casino and enter for your chance to win. Let's Chumba.
Yeah. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
There's no need to fear. Underdog is here.
When criminals in this world appear and break the laws that they should fear and frighten all who see or hear, the cry goes up both far and near for underdog.
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 Underdog. Speed of lightning. Roar.
Ladies and gentlemen, it is time for the Silly Underdog Picks 2020. Here on 102.5 The Game, Darren Donican Chase here with you. And yes, Darren McFarland will be joining the show, even though he's been on vacation all week.
I think he might be here.
He might be here, as in Nashville?
No. I think he's on the phone, standing by.
Well, let's see if we can verify that. Darren McFarland, come in. Come in, Darren.
Guys, what's going on?
D-Mac.
Well, when you say what's going on, do you really have to ask what's going on?
Yeah, take a guess.
I was just checking in. Anything newsworthy?
No, you haven't missed anything this week.
No, nothing.
It's been boring.
Just a run-of-the-mill, everyday show. No problem.
The impression I get, I was like, man, I hope Willie and Chase have had something to talk about every day this week. It's been kind of quiet on the sports scene.
Good grief.
We've made it through without you, though, somehow.
Just so you know, the news does make it to East Tennessee. So I did see some of the stuff, so I have a pretty good idea of what you guys have been discussing.
Yeah, there are issues. There are issues. All right.
You think?
And we got issues.
Hello?
All right, so let's bring in some other guys that are part
Hello.
Of this conversation.
Who that is?
Dwayne?
Mr. Chris Sanders. Hello.
Oh, hey, how you doing, guys?
Hey,
what
Chris.
A great mood today.
Chris, welcome to the show. We're going to go over the standings here in a moment.
So
what's new at NBA?
Champ, yeah. Just a couple of Titans here, that's all.
Oh, okay, cool.
Good little 7-on-7.
I did hear you were put on the spot yesterday with Jared in the GM there. I know that was probably a sticky situation.
No, not really.
But I heard your explanation, and you know, I think we're finding out we're not sure exactly when people were told what, but I think it basically explains what at NBA you guys were told, correct?
Yeah, you're right. I mean, you know, because we got to remember too that this is not the first time they practice on the NBA field. It's been about 3 or 4 times, and I just think that the key is the day that the protocol was announced, and I think the protocol was announced like October 1st, and they came on that Wednesday, September 30th. So That's where the gray area is at. So, you know, there's nothing to hide. We're not trying to, you know, sneak players in and, you know, Tannehill, you know, putting a little mask on and thinking he's Gary Coleman. I mean, we're not doing none of that. None of that. So, that's it.
All right. Let's bring in Kelly Holcomb as he gets ready for the picks. And he had a brilliant week, as we're going to find out here. Kelly, what's going on?
I'm good. How you guys doing?
I imagine you're pretty good.
Boom.
Nice week.
Really
we got
good.
Some texts rolling in late at night on both Saturday and Sunday.
Yeah, I'm feeling good about it. I mean, I'm still, I'm just winning games, and I'm just listening to Chris backpedal on his answer right there. I mean, I don't know.
Hey, that's why they call me Michael Jackson, baby.
I don't know, man. He looks like he's dodging everything.
Well, we'll leave that for now because we have a contest to run.
Willie's going to sidestep on out.
He wants you to leave it as quick as possible.
Like right now.
I mean, we're not going to pile on. The guy is 0-6 right now in our competition. All right. So let's do this. Let's begin by recapping the scores and the action from last week as we begin our Silly Underdog competition for week number 5. Our online contest, the most popular pick, 36% of the audience took Auburn against Georgia. 36% came up short on that one. If you were curious, Let's see what else we've got here. The next most popular pick was 22% had Boston College against North Carolina. And then 21%, actually it was pretty spread across after that. There were some other popular picks, but the next most popular was Duke against Virginia Tech at that one. So that's what we had online in terms of our audience there. So you can, remember, play every week with us. Even if you haven't played to this point, there's weekly prizes. Each week starts over. So we want you to play. Just go to thegamenashville.com and you make your picks. College and pro, you pick three games, and college or pro is fine. Let's check our weekly winner. Taylor Douglas from Bellevue is the winner this week. He had a score of 40.
West Side represent.
The West Side is representing. He had 40. That's a pretty big score for a week there. So well done. Congratulations to Taylor Douglas. Now to the insiders. Last week, Chris Sanders had the first pick. Looking for his first win on the college front, he took the Commodores. Vanderbilt was a 20.5-point dog against LSU. The Commodores got him a big win last year as a big dog against Missouri. But no deja vu this time. 41-7. Chris, it did not go well for the Commodores. They flashed some good things at some points, but LSU way too strong.
Hey, they gave it their all. I mean, as long as they give it their all. That's all I'm saying right now.
Well, LSU soft-spoken. Got it all, though.
They kicked them in the tush. That's exactly
Jeez. Darren McFarland took Middle Tennessee, a 7-point home dog against Western Kentucky. Good game. Middle actually covered for the purposes of our other contest, pick six. But Western Kentucky gets their first win of the season. Darren, good try, but no points for a cover in this contest.
You know, I'm a Rutherford County resident. I root for MTSU, Kelly Holcomb's alma mater, and Chase's as well. Like Rick Stockstill and the Blue Raiders, but flat out, they stink this year. They're awful. They're just awful.
They are winless.
Sorry, Kelly.
You keep picking them. This is the third time you picked them.
Is it the third time you picked him? No,
second,
I don't think
the second time.
Second time?
Yeah.
Well, 0-2. All right, that brings us to Chase. He went with the most popular pick among our listeners, Auburn. Maybe the listeners were following Chase's lead. Do you think that's the case, or were you following the listeners' lead? I don't know. But Auburn, a 6.5-point dog at Georgia. Georgia stepped it up. They played way better in week two than week one. They win the game handily. Chase, you came up short on that one.
Yeah. Georgia stepped it up and then stepped on the throats of Auburn. That's exactly what happened.
Yeah. What did I tell you, Chase, with that pick?
Yeah, you said it. Everybody, the public's on Auburn. Everybody loves Auburn.
And I said, that's a loser pick. You said, yep. I'm surprised you didn't take Auburn. I said, no, that's a loser pick.
Yep.
I think it was a mistake.
Yeah, that's what you said. And you were right.
Of course, my pick didn't either. So it didn't matter.
Yeah. Only one person is really happy about this week's contest.
True.
That brings us to Kelly Holcomb, who then had the fourth pick among the college picks and then the first pick among the pro rounds. If you're hearing this for the first time, yes, we added a second pick this year for the insiders, not knowing exactly what the picture would look like for colleges. So you have a college pick and a pro pick. Kelly's college pick was Ole Miss, a 6-point dog at Kentucky, and it was a wacky one. Of course, Kentucky misses the extra point in overtime. Ole Miss wins it. Ole Miss certainly caught some breaks, but give Lane Kiffin credit, his first conference win, his first win at the helm of Ole Miss, and it got Kelly six big ones.
Oh.
And no sooner had that game ended than we got the text. Ole Miss is all it said.
Hotty toddy.
Right. Ole Miss, baby. And all I could think about was in my head was, Darren said, Ole Miss defense sucks, which I agree. But, you know, offensively, you got Lane Kiffin, and he can score points. He gets guys the ball, and I felt really sorry for the Kentucky kicker, man. I hate that it comes down to a situation like that where the kid misses the point after, but, hey, a win is a win, baby. Let's do it.
Ole Miss can score, and that's going to be fun to watch this weekend when they play Alabama. Let's see if they can score some points and make that game entertaining. Because Alabama's offense is going to have some pretty good matchups against Ole Miss's defense. Then Kelly, though, not only did he win on Saturday, he gets a win on Sunday night, taking the Eagles, 7-point dog. Of course, this is one of Kelly's former teams that he played for. Eagles, a 7-point dog at the 49ers, and they pulled it off. 49ers had a little run late with C.J. Beathard coming in off the bench, local kid. But the Eagles hang on. They played a great second half. They get their first win of the year, and Kelly, with the two wins, picks up 13 points and moves into first place.
Oh, I didn't realize that. I thought I was still in second. I didn't know. But, hey, go Eagles, baby. I mean, no Jimmy Garoppolo, so, hey, you got to go with it.
Yeah, that pick six by Mr. Mullins, it got him a seat on the bench, maybe for a good while.
Yeah, that sealed the deal.
That did seal the deal. That brings us to Chase. He had the second pick among the pros. He took the Raiders, 3-point dog at home, playing the Bills. Bills pull it off to go 4-0. And so Chase goes 0-2 on the week. Chase, sorry about that. Darren McFarlane had the third pick. He took the Vikings in a pair of winless teams, 4.5-point dogs against the Texans. And the Vikings get their first win of the season. And they send the Texans to 0-4. And then, of course, they fire their coach, Bill O'Brien. So, Darren, you get
the W. How about
that,
Darren?
I'm sure Chase threw a big Bill O'Brien party.
Well, the Titans overshadowed that, so I was
we haven't really had a chance to discuss
focused on that, but I did kind of go
It was so
did
crazy.
Did the GM fire the coach, or how did that work? Who fired the GM and the coach?
Booger McFarland said GM Bill O'Brien got head coach Bill O'Brien fired, and I think there's some truth to that.
Very true.
Yeah, that is about That about says it right there. Yeah, it was interesting. Mike Vrabel jumped at the chance to have some question not related to the COVID-19. He was asked about that his last time facing the media about Bill O'Brien. He's very close with him, thinks highly of him. That brings us to Chris Sanders. He had the final pick. He went with the Dolphins, 6.5-point dog against the Seahawks. Seahawks stay perfect on the season. Dolphins, the often-picked team in our contest, they come up short, so Chris still looking for his first win. So here's what we got. After 4 weeks, Kelly Holcomb now with the two victories is 5-3 on the year. He's got 26 points. Darren does pick up 4.5. He's just 1 point back at 25. Chase has 15 with three victories, and Chris bringing up the rear. So when we come back, the first pick of
Goose
week five will be Darren McFarland. Chris Sanders has picks 4 and 5. That worked well for Kelly last week. Chase will pick second, Kelly third in the first round. So that's coming up in our next segment. You're listening to Silly Underdog Picks here on 102.5 The Game.
There's no need to fear. Underdog is here.
When criminals in this world appear and break the laws that they
All right, time for the picks for Silly Underdogs. Week number 5 on the season. Currently, it is Kelly Holcomb in first place, 26 points. Darren, 25. Chase at 15. Chris Sanders, the defending champion, still looking for his first win. Darren McFarland has the first pick this week, starting with the colleges.
Indian fever. It starts from the very first inning.
Next year.
Indian fever. Each game is a brand new beginning. It's the hits, the homers, the double plays. It's how you feel when we win. So catch Indian Fever.
Be a believer.
Indians.
A little delay there. Threw off the timing of the...
Boy, you sound like Conway Twitty.
Jeez. What just happened?
Well, you mistimed it a little bit. I guess you heard the song a little bit later than we did, so...
Little
just
delay.
Move forward. It was a great effort on your part.
I've got a cracked screen on my phone, so I didn't know if I fell off or what happened.
I think you were on cue, though. Do you think he was in tune there, Chris, or do you think he's a little out of tune on that?
He sounds like a wounded calf. That's what he sounded like.
Okay.
I will say this. I've been disappointed with the Indians being out, but I've enjoyed watching the Rays-Yankees series, and last night, that Dodgers series, that game was awesome last night.
It's worth staying up for sure. It's really good.
All right, I'm going to take there's a lot of heat right now down in Texas, down in College Station to be exact. Jimbo Fisher's getting paid a lot of money, and they don't look like they're very good. There's a lot of pressure. This is when he usually responds. I'll take A&M and 6.5 points at home against Florida.
The Aggies are a 6.5 point home dog hosting the number 4-ranked Florida Gators. That was certainly something we got into with Paul Feinbaum earlier today. We have him on, for all you college football fans, every Thursday at 10:15. And there's no question, it's a building narrative. Not getting return on the investment, $7.5 million a year for their coach. This is a big one for the Aggies for sure. Chase McCabe is on the clock.
Time to play the game. Time to play the game.
All right, I need points. This is what happens. Get behind. Need some points. It's a good pick, Darren. I did have that circled. But I am going to go to the ACC, and I'm going to take NC State plus 8.5 on the road against Virginia.
NC State is a 7.5 point dog on the road against the Cavaliers. That game Saturday at 11 a.m.
Now hold on. Now, you have 7.5?
That's what I have on CBSSports.com. That's what
I'm looking at CBS and it says 8.5.
How could that be? How could that be?
I don't know. It just changed. Uh-oh. Wow. It's changed in the last 20 minutes.
Wow.
Because I opened that up 20 minutes ago, and I just refreshed, and it's 7.5. So, interesting. There you go.
Huh? Okay. Well, 7.5 it is. Gotta be official at the moment. In the moment. NC State, an often picked team here in our competition. The Wolfpack at 2-1. Virginia 1-1 playing at home. Was that on anybody's radar? There's more games to pick this week. There's more data out there. Nobody was really looking at that one. So, Chase, a little bit of off the beaten path there.
I don't love the board this week, if I'm just being honest. Don't love it.
All right, so let's find out what the leader thinks. Kelly Holcomb coming off the 2-0 week, vaulting into the lead. He has the pick.
We can scan a buck and run a trot line, and a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive.
I'm a winner.
I do have to say, too, Kelly, I'm enjoying the going back to the original fight song that you have here, the Hank Williams Jr.
Last year didn't work.
Last year didn't work for you, and it just wasn't the same with the West Virginia, John Denver.
I'm in total agreement with that. I'm a huge Hank Williams Jr. fan. I'm in total agreement. So, okay, so I didn't realize I was in first. I'm not keeping up with it like that, but I thought I was still in second to Darren. So that has kind of shifted my focus here. And I'm just going to hit a little single here. I think I'm going to take, and I took them earlier in the year, and they made a huge comeback, but I think I'm going to take the Navy midshipmen to beat the Temple Owls. 3.5 points.
Navy is a 3.5 point home dog against the Temple Owls. There was a day and time where you would think Temple, no way would they be favored. At Navy, Temple was down in the cellar for years and years, but they have really had an uptick here. So Navy, a 3.5 point dog. Navy at 1-2 on the season here. And I'm looking at this. Is this Temple's first game?
As I said, that's Temple's first game, isn't it? Ooh.
Temple has not played a game, and neither has Houston. Houston is playing against Tulane. Houston has had like 4 games rescheduled, postponed, etc. So an interesting strategy there by Mr. Holcomb. So the midshipman for 3.5 against Temple in the opening day for Temple. All right, that brings us to Chris Sanders. He's got 2 picks. I still can't believe we haven't had the wisecrack, Chris, from Kelly, of how long do we keep the sheriff playing? Or how long do you keep the badge?
I'm about to make a little nice little
dig here, because if the sheriff's in town, he better start arresting some folks.
I'm trying, man. I'm giving it my all. That's all that matters here, Mr. Kelly. But, yeah, here's my pick. I had to do some soul searching. I had to talk to Dwayne, and Dwayne had to talk to Chris. And they said, man, what you need to do, you need to go talk to Mama. So I went to go talk to Mama. She said, boy, you need to go out there, pull your pants up, and go get you some wins. So here's my pick. I'm going for the gusto. Arkansas over Auburn. And I think that Arkansas is playing some good ball, and I think they're going to beat Auburn.
Well, going for the gusto is certainly nothing new for Chris Sanders. He likes to go for the big points, and it worked very well for him last year. Arkansas, coming off a nice win for them against Mississippi State, is a 13.5-point dog down on the plains against 13th-ranked Auburn, who is coming off, of course, the bad – not I shouldn't say bad loss. They got throttled by Georgia. Interesting pick. Anybody think that's got a shot? Anybody a believer in Arkansas, or do you want to see more?
Hey, I got to see more.
Thanks for the comments.
Yeah,
appreciate it.
I'd say Vanderbilt against LSU had a better shot than this bet.
No way.
Are you serious? have your phone at 12 o'clock at midnight.
Okay.
Because I'm calling you, mister.
Yeah, you've been blowing everybody's phone up so far, Hoss.
Kelly, come on, man. I thought we were friends, man.
I'm just waiting on the 72 points this year.
Okay, it's not over, man. We got a long season.
All right, that brings us to the NFL. So, Chris, you have the first pick in round two.
Hey, I told you I had a conversation with Dwayne, and he said, man, you got to go for the gusto. We're going Cincinnati over Baltimore.
Oh.
The Cincinnati Bengals are a 13-point dog.
Let's go, baby.
Playing in Baltimore.
Let's go.
Against the Ravens. Of course, the Bengals just got their first win. They had the tie the week before. Joe Burrow starting to get some confidence going.
There you go.
But 13 points, that's a high number for an NFL game.
You don't think they hear that? You don't think they're going to come out fired up? Hey, I'm trying to
I mean,
to
is Bill O'Brien
here.
The GM giving you picks? Like,
you
what
said what
is
now?
Going on?
They do have to win outright. You realize that. You haven't gotten foggy on that.
Guys, I'm just giving them all. That's all I'm trying.
Okay. That will be a heck of a story if the Bengals win that game. All right,
Willie, I'm glad you brought that up. What is Chris against the spread this year? Forget winning the games outright. What is he against the spread
well,
in his games?
We'd have to do a little research on that.
Does he have a win?
No.
I don't think
get
so.
Mahoney on that.
Okay, well, we'll have to get our crack staff on that. We don't have time to investigate it at this point.
Wow.
Let's get to Kelly Holcomb for his pro pick.
Okay, so I think this team has been picked every week, and I think Darren just picked the wrong week. I know that I think Garoppolo practiced yesterday, but he's going to be rusty again. So I'm going to take the Miami Dolphins to beat the 49ers.
Dang it.
Ooh. The Dolphins at 1-3 are a 9-point dog on the road at San Fran. The 49ers at 2-2, a little urgency as they try to sift through all their injury issues. So the Dolphins, again, getting picked as a dog, and it does appear, unless there's some big change, that they're going to stick with Ryan Fitzpatrick as the quarterback and not Tua. There was some speculation they might make the change this week, but doesn't appear to be the case.
Fitzmagic, buddy. Fitzmagic.
He wants one of those games. All right, that brings us to Chase McCabe.
Yeah, that was a good pick, Kelly, because I had him. Now I have to completely rethink my strategy here.
There are some big numbers, some big underdogs for the NFL, more so than many weeks that you
see.
Yeah,
and again, like I said with college, I don't love this. So I'm going to go with plan B, a team on the road trying to get their second win of the season Sunday night. I will take the Vikings +7 against Seattle.
The Vikings trying to make it 2 in a row are a 6-point dog out in Seattle against the 12th man and the Seahawks, and, of course, Russell Wilson having a tremendous season, and they are 4-0. All right, Darren McFarland, final pick of the week. Then we'll let you get back to your vacation.
Who does Washington play this week? Who's their opponent?
Are you saying the Washington football team?
Correct.
The Washington football team is in action.
The Rams.
Yes, the Rams.
It is the Rams. That would be Sunday at high noon.
They're switching quarterbacks.
They are?
I think that's going to provide them a little spark. I'll take the Washington FTs.
The Washington FT. They are a 7-point home dog against the 3-1 L.A. Rams. So the Rams trying to have a resurgent season here. And so far there's some signs of it, and they've got an opportunity to play the Washington FTs, who don't look so good. But remember, at 1-3, you're right there in the NFC East race. It's one of the most intriguing races unfolding here. Who can win? Who's going to win that division? Somebody has to. Unbelievable.
The race to what, 7-9?
Yeah, what? I mean, that's, if you had to guess, what? How many wins that
division?
6-8-1.
6-10.
6-10. Can you imagine 6-10 winning a division?
Wow.
If there's any year, it could be this year. You have to do the math. Yep. I mean, they play each other a certain amount of times. I wonder what the minimum could possibly be. All right.
Wow.
Let's wrap it up and recap what we have on the board. And remember, we want you listening to play with us by going to thegamenashville.com. You can win a weekly prize by just joining us and participating. Darren McFarlane has the first pick. He's 1 point behind in the standings. He takes Texas A&M, a 6.5-point home dog against the 4th-ranked Florida Gators. A big, big game for Jimbo Fisher for his job security. I don't know if it's security. His contract is guaranteed every dime. So they're stuck with him, but they want some wins. Chase McCabe, he takes NC State. The Wolfpack are a 7.5-point dog playing on the road at Virginia. Kelly Holcomb, the leader, red hot right now, takes Navy. They're a 3.5-point home dog against the Temple Owls, who are playing their first game of the season. Chris Sanders, looking for his first win of the season, takes Arkansas, a 13.5-point dog playing on the road at Auburn. Arkansas coming off a big win. Can they build on it? Chris also takes, with his pro pick, the Cincinnati Bengals, a 13-point dog coming off their first win of the season as they take on the powerful Baltimore Ravens in Baltimore. Kelly Holcomb, with his NFL pick, takes the Miami Dolphins, who seem to be involved in our contest every week. Miami is a 9-point dog on the road against the defending NFC champion 49ers. Chase McCabe selects the Minnesota Vikings, trying to make it 2 wins in a row. They're a 7-point dog on the road against the undefeated Seattle Seahawks. And then finally, Darren McFarlane selects the Washington football team. They're playing at home as a 7-point dog against the 3-1 Los Angeles Rams. Remember, thegamenashville.com is the place to make your picks. Those are our picks for week number 5. And gentlemen, as always, good luck.
Yeah, whatever.
Okay.
Whatever, commish. Whatever.
All right. Chris, carry on. Good luck. Hopefully you get rid of that goose egg this weekend.
Hey, appreciate it. Thanks for the confidence.
All right. Darren, back to your vacation. Thank you for joining us and
appreciate
taking time away from your day.
Don't break your phone anymore.
Hey, I was just about to say that. I'm glad you broke your phone.
Thanks. I'm going to get it fixed so I can text you on Saturday.
All right. All right, Kelly, good luck to you guys this weekend. I hope your son is rehabilitating quickly for the injury to the thumb. Is it the thumb or the pinky?
We are off this
or
week,
index so finger, I guess.
So appreciate it. Thank y'all.
All right. Kelly Holcomb, Chris Sanders, Darren McFarlane. We'll take a break. Those are our silly underdog picks. We'll get back to the Titans. We'll get you the latest in a moment. We got a lot to cover. And don't forget, at 1 o'clock, Elliot Friedman, and then at 1:30, David Poyle. And we'll get hot and heavy into the busy NHL draft that the Predators were involved with. They were very, very busy, in particular, the last 48 hours.
I love their 7th-round pick, too. That's my favorite.
Oh, we're going to definitely mention that guy's name, for sure. So that's coming up around the corner. But until then, we'll recap what's happening, the latest with the Titans. Stay tuned. Back here on Darren, Donick, and Chase. Don't forget, coming up, we're going to get you as good a hockey coverage as you're going to find at 1 o'clock and then 1:30. Elliot Friedman at 1. The crazy offseason, the free agency is about to begin. There are free agents all over the place. But how attractive are they? What's the market for them? The Predators made some very interesting choices. Moving on from Kyle Turris, trading Nick Bonino, they have some cap space. What will they do? We'll also talk to David Poile about that at 1:30. They also had a very, very intriguing draft. This from Tom Pelissero on the Titans front. The NFL and NFLPA are now looking into multiple unauthorized workouts involving Titans players since the facility closed amidst a COVID-19 outbreak. And not just workouts involving skill positions per sources. Two more players were confirmed positive today. Review ongoing. So I'm trying to translate this in my mind. Chase, I mean, we saw pictures of multiple workouts. We saw one from Rose Park. We know NBA.
Yep.
Is this implying that there's even more?
It sounds that way. And I will say this, there's been no communication from the Titans today on any type of media availability with Mike Vrabel or John Robinson or anybody.
Nothing.
So all quiet on the Titans front from there. And I'm going to be honest with you, I don't agree with that move. I know this is an ever-changing situation, and a lot of times you will see a team, well, it's better to just stay quiet until there's something – you know, definitive that we can talk about. Well, there's a lot of rumor. There's a lot of reports. There's a lot coming out on this. And if it's me, I'd want to be out in front of it. But they have, as of now, not scheduled anything for today. And, you know, who knows? Maybe the league is saying we'd prefer that you not say anything until we're ready to say something. But we'll see. But, yeah, I know there was also, with the report yesterday, you mentioned, you know, Belmont, having one. So I'd love to know how many of these workouts there have been, because we've matched up some things on the timeline that they were told not to before they did this. So it was the 29th that the message was delivered of, no workouts, nothing away from the facility either. And it appears that they did it anyway. So,
right. So I'm just trying to figure out if there's something else that's been, that is implied in there that we haven't known for 6 days. I mean, Steve Lehman put it out there way before,
right,
that they had a workout at NBA, and of course it's been verified and been. Then there was pictures from Rose Park and all of that. Then there was the whole issue of the memo, and that does bring me to one thing I want to say about Chris Sanders, and of course he is, for those that don't know, he's a former Titan. He's also an assistant coach at NBA. I don't know all that went into organizing and planning for the workout over there, but I have to say he was put in a tough position, and he tried to do it as best he can. As he said, he wasn't trying to shy away from it, but I don't think he was the principal guy that made the decision over there, but he's on our airwaves trying to stick up for NBA and stick up for the Titans, and it was quite the conversation with Jared and Floyd yesterday. And at the time, I think Chris's argument was they had not been given a strict protocol at the time,
right,
that they couldn't gather for a workout. That was their understanding, I guess, at NBA at the time. And so he was trying to stick up for both sides. But I just wanted to be known. I don't think the Titans called Chris Sanders and Chris Sanders just said, yeah, come on over here. He may have been okay with it or whatever, but it is interesting because I have had a lot of people ask me, why in the world would NBA allow them to come over and do that? You know, being a high school, you know, and all the issues that are at play with all of this, right?
Yeah.
If you're being, and their headmaster, Brad Gioia, as we talked about yesterday, he was the guy that was, I guess he had to comment for, who was, I think it was Channel 4, Chris Harris, had that. And Brad Gioia is on the task force for the city, right? With the mayor and the task force with Dr. Jahangir and all those guys. So that's interesting that he felt okay about them coming over. So I don't know what NBA was told by the Titans. I don't know if it really matters. You could probably say that a lot of people would argue that they shouldn't have done it no matter what, just knowing anything about the situation. But now, a couple of days later, it does appear from the NFL side that the Titans players were told specifically, no, you can't do anything at the facility or not at the facility as a group. They went ahead with it. So,
but I will say, too, that the NFL...
I just wanted to say that for Chris's behalf because, you know, he's a regular part of our shows, and he's not a spokesperson for NBA or the Titans. I think he's, you know, sort of just happens to be...
He's just kind of
put on
that
spot there. Yeah. And so you could hear the guys, you know, Kelly was ribbing him. We were all giving him a hard time. But that's a tough spot to be in. And Chris is the last guy that deserves any. It's not his decision, right?
But while it would appear that the Titans, you know, were told not to do something and they did it anyway, I will say that I understand the players part of it of, you know, and yesterday some of the Titans were tweeting, and I would have immediately told them, put the phone away. You're not helping anything. But that they did have to prepare. And at the time, they were told you're still playing a game. So I understand that. Because if you ask them to go out there cold without any type of preparation, being on a practice field, getting loose, that's dangerous. And I get that. So it's a very sticky situation. I still say both sides have things they need to answer for. Hopefully they will. I do believe the Titans are going to get some sort of punishment because there appear to be many different violations of what was agreed upon from the league and the PA that they're going to be found to be guilty of. But I'm hoping, and I know you use this phrase a lot, Willie, I'm hoping that there is a lot learned from this and that teams around the league and the Titans and the NFL, they look at this situation, a situation that they've never been in before, and they take something away and they get together and they say, okay, this is what we've learned. Now we got to finish the season. Let's figure out how to keep this from happening the best we can, the best that we can to finish the season. And it's easier said than done. Maybe some of the protocols didn't work. Maybe there was complacency, all of the above. But we'll just have to see. But right now, I mean, it's almost like we're on repeat because even though there's new information that comes out every day, we don't really know what the ending looks like and don't see an ending in sight. With two more positive tests coming out, we'll probably get those names a little later on.
I'll repeat what I've said throughout, starting yesterday when this started to become a big part of the narrative. And we should not forget that this is only one sliver. The workouts are only one sliver of the entire investigation. To me, the way more important question is, could they have, by handling it better initially, stopped the spread? You know, there's going to be a case positive here and there. We know that. But the key thing is to not allow it to spread, which is exactly what's happened. And now they have a giant predicament on so many fronts. To me, that's the biggest thing that is important. When they got the initial test, you know, was it Shane Bowen? It's been reported that maybe it was. You know, where did they go from there? And should they have flown to Minnesota? Were they adhering to protocols on the plane? Were people wearing masks at the facility throughout the week? All of those things are probably more important than the workouts, although the workouts are not insignificant because it could be seen as a blatant running through the stop sign, as it was called, you know, knowing that the protocol was there, but you blew through it. I'm trying to give them the benefit of the doubt of being in a tough predicament. You, at the time, we got to play on Sunday and we can't go to our facility. What do? We've got to stay in physical shape here. So I give them a little bit of slack there. It looks like the Washington Post has echoed what Tom Pelissero said. Mark Maskey, who has had a lot of information on this, not just a single workout, examining other potential violations as well. You do wonder, when are we going to get a resolution there? Also from Pro Football Talk, Stephon Gilmore did have dinner with Cam Newton on Friday. And this is the day before the Patriots announced that Cam Newton had tested positive. So we know Stephon Gilmore was on the plane, and he played every single snap against Kansas City. Bill Belichick, I know this is going to be a huge earth-shattering information, he evaded questions about the decision to take Gilmore to Kansas City. I know you're really surprised to hear that.
No, not at all.
All right, let's take a break, and then we'll wrap up this hour. Don't forget, at 1 o'clock, Elliot Friedman joins us, and then at 1:30, David Poile. Stay tuned. We're coming back here on 102.5 The Game. Final segment of the hour, we'll turn the page and go to the world of the Predators in just a few minutes. There is an NBA Finals game going on, and that we'll see if LeBron can close it out and win the title. Also, don't forget,
they're going to wear their Mamba jerseys too, I believe. I saw that.
Which means it's over.
Yeah. So did Kobe help design those before his passing? Is that what I understand?
I believe so. I believe that there was a hand in it, because I think they made those last season.
Yeah.
And they were concepted a year or two before last year, too. So it was something that was in the works for a while and was finally put to play this season.
Gotcha.
I admire the spunk of Miami. That was a really good game. I know the ratings have been low for the series. I think the lowest ever. But if you've watched it, I think it's been an entertaining series for sure. It's been a shame that they've had, if they're not at full strength, because it was going to be hard enough to beat the Lakers anyway. But the coronation could be tonight. Chase's Braves start at 1 o'clock as the baseball game or baseball playoffs unfold for the day. Four more games today, and we'll have some coverage of it, as we mentioned before, on our radio stations, 102.5 and 94.9 tonight. Also, you can listen to college football on our station, the college football game of the week on ESPN 94.9. Presented to you by Gary Force Acura, is the Red River Shootout. That game, Texas against Oklahoma, is coming up at 11 a.m. on ESPN 94.9. I'm guessing that it's at the Cotton Bowl where we were on January 1st, Jace. You were there.
I was there. It was cool. Had you ringside. Well, I guess Darren and I were ringside too, but had you as the ringside reporter, which was pretty cool. And you had it was a unique experience, and hard to believe that that started off this year, because that feels like that was about 5 years ago.
Yes, it does. Yes, it does.
When that took place.
All right, let's check in one call. Is he still there? Let's go to Clay, who has a comment about the Titans situation. Clay.
Willie, good to talk to you again.
Thank you.
Willie, I guess, so supposedly 15 players, what I've heard, you know, worked out at NBA. And I'm assuming all these guys were, you know, negative, I assume. I assume the starting quarterback.
I think that is something that we have to make sure we understand. When we say negative, I think you can probably say nobody knew they had it at the time that they were at NBA. They probably tested multiple times negative. But as we know, and as we found out, you can be negative one day and be positive a day or two or three down the road with the incubation period. I think this has been a great educational process for a lot of people. So that is where the mistake was made. You can't just come in and say we're all negative, because they couldn't have known what the future was going to hold.
Coach Vrabel, evidently when these, you know, positive tests started showing up, from what I hear, told the team, you know, not to gather. Is that correct?
Well, that's what he said on October 1st. Is that when he had the latest? Was it Wednesday or Thursday? It might have been Thursday by the time.
He said that we've asked them not to do that.
Right.
So.
Now, we don't know what he said or didn't say in the days before that. But he did say a couple of days after it had already happened, we've told them not to gather.
So ultimately, I guess you've got to blame, you know, these players that obviously arrange, you know, this workout, I guess, among themselves, correct?
Well, I don't know if it makes any difference if it's the players or the team, because it happened. It's just all going to be part of the package, I think.
So going forward, Willie, ultimately, what do you think happens? What do you think the punishment to the Titans is? Obviously, it's disappointing, you know, to me, because – well, I'm a passionate Cowboys fan first. I do try to support, you know, my hometown team. It's certainly got, you know, the NFL a buzz and things like that.
Yeah.
many teams that are not fans of the Tennessee Titans now, I guess, because of this.
Yeah, they're getting hammered nationally for sure. Clay, thanks for the call. We kicked this around a lot earlier in the show, Chase. When we talked to Floyd Reese, he said one thing they could look at is you bag the game against the Bills. Now, there hasn't been any change to Dan Orsini's tweet earlier today that they're still perhaps looking at Monday or Tuesday. That seems very unrealistic. We know Sunday there's no way, even though the league has not come out and said. So what do you do? Do you try to make the game up? Do you go ahead and say the game will be made up? Or do you say, as Floyd says, we bag it for now, we'll make it up later in the season if it is meaningful? And we kick that around because at this point, with the Titans not having practiced for 2 weeks, and they've got a whole list of issues with their roster, when do some of these guys even get cleared to even start to practice again? How many of them have had symptoms? They've got a mountain of things to deal with. Not playing this weekend is probably the best case scenario for them, as long as they're not forfeiting the game.
Yeah, yeah. There's not going to be a right answer to this because, I mean, Titans fans in general are just frustrated. I've seen and gotten tweets of they're mad at the media for reporting things. They're mad at the Titans for, you know, their part in it. They're mad at the league. I mean, they're mad. And it's, I think a lot of it has to do with the fact that fans were just so happy to have sports back. They were happy that the NFL started on time. They were happy that the Titans started off 3-0. And now all of a sudden the brakes have been slammed on once again in this year. So I can certainly understand the frustration in all of this. There's not going to be a right answer. Just clearly there isn't. It's not going to be fair to anyone involved that if they forfeit the game or if they cancel the game, however you want to word it, you know, the Bills going to get paid for that. If they move the game and have to alter the schedule again, it's just a very unfortunate situation for everybody to be in. But this is where we are. And my guess is you got to have a decision by the end of today. I don't think you can wait till tomorrow to make this call. I mean, they're not playing Sunday. I think we all know that. But I'm curious if news breaks later today on what the schedule is going to look like.
All right. On that, we will step away and come back very quickly with Elliot Friedman. And we'll get his – I mean, you talk about a guy whose phone right now is blowing up with all the things that are happening around the league on – the eve of free agency, which starts tomorrow, the day after the draft ends. There's a lot compacted into a short period of time with the NHL. It's very exciting. Stay tuned. We're coming back.
How to have fun anytime, anywhere. Step one, go to ChumbaCasino.com.
ChumbaCasino.com. Got it.
Step two, collect your welcome bonus.
Come to Papa, welcome bonus.
Step three, play hundreds of casino-style games for free.
That's a lot of games, all for free.
Step four, unleash your excitement.
Woo-hoo!
Chumba Casino has been delivering thrills for over a decade. So claim your free welcome bonus now and live the Chumba life. Visit ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.